Who is your daddy?
I am your father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Welcome to another episode of Fathers of the Grind. My name is Tim Nestor. Thanks for joining us. I am here with Derek Teague, and Derek and I just finished playing a few rounds of the new mode in Rocket League. Derek, how's it going?
Solid.
Nice. Glad. It sounds like you're really excited. So we just tried this new Hoops edition, this new DLC that they put out. It's a free mode they added to the game. And it's basically a big basketball court. It's an indoor basketball court. And it's a similar setup, of course, that all of you Rocket League players are familiar with, except for the goals are completely different. They are now these large circle-shaped hoops that are about maybe a fourth, maybe 20% to the ceiling. They're set up off the floor. And they have a curved wall that goes up to the hoop. So you can bounce the ball. Like, if you aren't really great at the aerial shots, you can still hit the ball in a way off the corner or off the wall underneath the hoop that will bounce it up into the air and knock it in. Kind of a fun mode. What do you think about it so far?
It's tough. I expected it to be tough. But I think it's kind of like what you said. I think I went into it when I was just looking at screenshots thinking, oh, I'm going to have to improve on my aerials, which... very true. One thing, I don't know if you mentioned it, from the tap-offs, you don't just rush the ball. It's not sitting in the middle. They actually pop the ball up like in real basketball.
Yeah.
So that's one place where if you're not good at aerials, you're going to get destroyed, because if you're playing somebody who does know what they're doing, they're just going to fly in the air and tap the ball in the hoop. Right. But anyways, it's pretty good. You definitely have to work on your aerials, but at least they give you plenty of opportunities with angle shots. I noticed as we were playing, it kind of played a little bit like the hockey, where if you bring the ball around the side in a certain way, it will just roll itself up the wall and then drop in the hoop.
Yeah, so. And you mentioned that reminds you a little bit of the snow day mode, which was ice hockey.
Yeah.
And in ice hockey, if you hit that puck around the side real fast at the right angle, it kind of, we talked about this before, almost magnetizes into the goal a little bit. This doesn't have that magnet effect, but
the same thing
does apply, where if you hit at the right angle, it'll just roll right up off the backboard and fall in. But
I'll say this. We don't have to talk about it forever because not everybody loves Rocket League like we do, but we've only played a few matches, and it was already challenging me. Yeah. It was very difficult to score a hoop. So it's something new and fresh that I can play. I don't know how long I'll play it for, but I'm definitely going to try to get good at it. Like, I felt like I got good at snow day / hockey. And then once I got good, I was like, well, this feels like I'm doing the same thing over and over. And since they never had ranked mode, I moved on back to soccer.
Okay.
So we'll see what they do with this, but I'll definitely play it for a little while to try to get good at it, and if I get real good at it and they don't do a rank mode, I'll probably move on back to soccer.
Yeah, the guys that we played, it seems like a few of them already are picking up on how to play, so of course, that's the way it is. You play online, there's people who are already good at everything. Yeah.
There was one guy who knew, you could tell he had played enough to understand the exact angle that you had to hit the ball against the backboard to get it to go in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we didn't win one yet, but we had an overtime one. That was fun. So yeah, it's really good. If you guys want to play with this, feel free to let us know on the Fathers of the Grind Facebook group. Just make a comment in there, make a post, and maybe we can all set up a night to play some Rocket League. We're always up for that. So other than Rocket League, Derek, what are you playing these days? What have you been gaming? And give us an update.
Well, I'm trying to slow down a bit on my gaming, but I have focused on one game, and I haven't really cheated on it. I've been staying true to Dark Souls 3. We talked about it last week. I talked about it a lot, so I'm not going to talk about it forever tonight. But the game, I won't say it's getting better. I'm still enjoying it a lot, but I'm definitely getting into areas where I'm like, ugh. This is becoming more frustrating than fun.
Mm.
But at the same time, when I get through them, you kind of look back and go, well, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
You know, like, once you know what you're doing, it's not that bad.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm through, I think there's 19 bosses. I think that includes optional bosses, and I'm through 7 of them. So I just got through the catacombs, I beat the boss in the catacombs, and now I'm moving on to... I mean, I just walked out, like, okay, so I fought this boss in the catacombs, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the catacombs, you're obviously underground, it's kind of like, you know, skeletons, everything, all that, everywhere. And so you walk upstairs, and then you go outstairs, and you see this beautiful area. Like, you're on the side of, like, a mountain, there's snow, it's windy, it's just gorgeous. You can see, like, a city, and so you see a bridge, and I start walking on it. And I get a warning, beware of behind you. I'm like, oh, crap. So as I'm walking on the bridge, you have that, like, overpass type thing on top of the bridge.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking what they're talking about is as you walk through that area onto the bridge, there's probably, like, an enemy up top shooting arrows at you or something. And then I get another thing saying, beware of a dragon or something like that. I'm like, okay, so the dragon's going to be in front of me, and then there's going to be an enemy behind me. So I walk a little bit, and all of a sudden music starts playing. I turn around. Nope, there's like this big, freakish, like, dirty-looking dragon, rat-looking thing. I mean, it was huge.
My mind was trying fast to piece together what you were saying. Like, I was trying to imagine it, and every word you said, it changed drastically.
Yeah, it was dirty, so ugly.
Giant dragon rat. Like, what? It's,
I don't even know what it was. I don't. And maybe I haven't even ran into the dragon, but I'm thinking it was like what the little message was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I died real fast. Okay. It didn't even take that long. So I was like, oh, well, this is a good place to shut it down because I'm going to do a podcast and I don't want to get too angry.
Now, you had said, let me ask you this. You had said a little while back that you're going to get it, you're going to try it, but you probably won't beat it. Do you still feel that same way now about Dark Souls 3?
No, I'll beat it.
Okay.
I'll beat it. I like it. I like it as much as I like Bloodborne.
Oh, and you like that game a lot.
Yeah, I really liked Bloodborne a lot. Like, I didn't... After I beat Bloodborne, I was real proud of myself, but I wasn't like, oh, this is game of the year. There were several other games that I was like, you know what, I really like Bloodborne, but it's not something I would ever play again because I just don't want to deal with the stress.
Yeah.
And that's why I didn't think I was going to like Dark Souls 3 that much, is because I felt like Bloodborne was more my style, but also I didn't think I would want to deal with the stress. Like, I figured, one and done, I can say I beat a Souls-type game, I don't really care anymore.
Yeah.
But I really feel like this game, or this franchise, I even posted it probably a few days ago. We were having a conversation about Dark Souls, because there's a lot of guys posting on there, yeah, bosses that they beat, or just their general feelings on the game.
Quick shout out to Austin. I think he said he beat it in like 16 hours or 18 hours, something really ridiculous.
I don't even know how he did that. He's ridiculous. Yeah. He must be really good at the game, because I'm 7 bosses in. Now, I haven't skipped one. I've hit all the optional bosses. I'm 7 bosses in, and I'm at 16 hours now.
Maybe there's a snobby Austin who's like, it's so easy.
Oh, God, Derek. Really, dude? Please just uninstall the game. So congrats to him. He's crazy. But he does that a lot. I've noticed that. Like, The Witcher came out, and like 2 days after The Witcher came out, I was like, yes, I beat the game.
You know, we talked a little bit ago. Our last episode was about the hardest games we've played. And we talked about how you said that you called yourself someone who's not great at games. There are plenty of games that I feel like, nope, not good at this. Like an entire genre, like racing or fighting games. I'm just not good at those kind of games. I could be wrong, but Austin strikes me as the kind of guy who's pretty much good at every game he plays. I could be wrong about that, but I feel like...
I think he is. Think he is. There, and I've had a couple buddies that have been like that, that it doesn't really matter what you're playing. You just switch the game out. It could be a different, completely, totally game, like different game. Like you can go from Madden to Mario 64 or something. I'm thinking about games that I used to play with friends, and they'll just dominate at both.
And I could be wrong about this, but our friends over at the Platinum Achievement Podcast, they did a Street Fighter V tournament after that game released, and I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Austin won that tournament. I could be wrong about that.
I think he won.
Yeah. So anyway, well, cool. Dark Souls 3, it is actually sitting right there in my library behind a few of the games I'm actively going through, and I am being peer pressured, and it's starting to work, to try that game. So Still working through Ratchet and Clank. I won't talk about that. I already kind of raved about how much I love that game. Working my way through that one. There's been two portable games that I've been playing. I had a chance to travel recently. And so while traveling, I brought out the old portable systems. I had my Vita, had my 3DS. And so I spent some time on the plane playing Uncharted, The Golden Abyss. And then I also spent a lot of time at the hotel as well as on the airplane playing Fire Emblem Fates, Conquest. So when it comes to Uncharted, Golden Abyss, it is a gorgeous game. I still can't believe it's on a handheld. It looks at least
it's really well
PS3
done.
Quality, at least. I mean, it's really a good-looking game. And I could see there was a couple people that kind of over my shoulder from across the aisle in the plane were kind of looking over my shoulder at the screen. You could tell they had the same thought, like, what? That's what?
I mean, must be streaming from his PS4.
Yeah, that's probably what they were thinking. But yeah, no, it's a gorgeous game. It plays really well. I do have a few drawbacks, a few negatives to say about it, though, that it overuses a touchscreen for very key parts of the game. It's not just little mini games. It's very key parts of the game, to like whether it's hand-to-hand combat or clearing away certain obstacles. They have you swipe the screen. It's just kind of hokey. It's almost reminiscent of when developers are trying to use the Wii motion stuff for, you know, waggle the remote right here. You're like, okay, yeah. I see what you're doing. So,
you know, what I like, sorry I cut you off. No, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry at all.
Don't be sorry.
Gravity Rush came out on the Vita, and a lot of people like that, and I didn't care for it that much mainly because it was on the Vita. Yeah. But they re-released the first one, like they did a high-def remaster on the PS4.
Yeah.
I would pay $30 if they would re-release Golden Abyss, wipe all the stupid Vita crap out of it.
Yeah, all the touch
maybe
stuff.
Maybe up-res it a little bit, touch it up a little bit. It doesn't have to be amazing, but make it look a little bit better and put it on the PS4. Sell it digitally for $30.
I'd play that.
I'd buy it.
It's very good. The quality of it is spectacular. The shooting works remarkably well, considering it's a Vita game, and the analog sticks aren't ideal for aiming, but it still works. It still works fine, and it's very well done. It's just high quality. So I'm playing that, and then working my way through Conquest, through Fire Emblem Fates Conquest. And again, if any of you are not familiar, it's a turn-based strategy RPG. It's a Nintendo 3DS exclusive. Part of a long-running series. It's very good, with really intriguing story. And the storyline that I picked is definitely the darker storyline. I can already tell that. But what they're doing is really great, because you still get to be the hero, and yet you choose to side with the darker family. Very clearly, the king is evil. Like, there's no doubt about it. You can't get around it. He is not a good dude. But some of the motivations that you have and your adopted siblings have are fascinating, and it's actually really well done. So I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I'm up to about chapter 20, I think. And so as soon as I finish that, I'll probably give it a little bit of a break and then jump into Birthright, because I want to try the other side too. But it's really good.
I did play Birthright last night because I had to put my kids to bed and they wanted me to hang out in the room with them. So I actually was like, well, it's a great chance to knock out a chapter of Birthright. So I'm inching closer to the end of that one. I do like it. I've talked nothing but good about it. One thing I will say that I don't like, and the reason I'm talking about it is because of what you mentioned with Conquest. It's the complete opposite. You're on the good side. And just how naive and stupid your main character is kind of a little bit frustrating. I get that it's like it's not a dark RPG. Like, I didn't expect them to be like where she becomes like a complete ruthless person because of all the people that are trying to backstab her.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't say her, because I guess you get to create your character.
I created the male. Yeah, so
I like, created a woman.
Okay.
So I could hit on her. But just some frustrating parts where I'm like, I just skip through the dialogue because I'm like, I already know you're going to say something stupid because you're just dumb. Like, you're just
I will agree. There are times when, as the player, you already pick up on what a connection is. Oh, that person is related to so and so in this way. You can already tell. That's going to be the reveal, and you can see it coming sometimes. And your character is thinking out loud, like, "Huh, that's weird. I wonder why this." Like, it's some of it is a little bit over the top, like holding your hand through the reveal or whatever. So that's happened a few times. Not so much that it ruins it for me. It's just, it's pretty standard, in my opinion, for some of these anime style, JRPG style games. I mean, a lot of times that's the case. They're like, wait a minute, this could be this. Like, it's just, it's a little bit cheesy. There's not a lot of subtlety in a lot of the dialogue.
You know what but they could like have it. Done and would have made me like it even more? And again, they don't have to do this. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying what I would have liked more with the way they set this up. They totally could have pulled off like a Game of Thrones Fire Emblem.
Yeah, that's true.
With well, all and these people related to each other, all trying to kill each other. If they would have wanted to make it more brutal, like if they could have done... And I'm not saying, again, Fire Emblem, if somebody else would do this, like a more mature Fire Emblem-esque type game mixed in with the Game of Thrones type of brutality, I think you got an amazing game.
I could see them doing that in some ways, minus some of the rated M stuff. It'd probably still have to be E10 or T, but I could see them doing that in some ways because it would be a natural evolution of the series to go into, okay, now there are four different heroes, and you now represent these different kingdoms or houses or whatever, and you play, maybe it's split into four sections, and you play as each one, and you get to see their side of things throughout this battle. I could see them, you know, evolving the series to that. That could be really neat. They kind of are doing that this way, where you get, you know, one version of the game, you choose one family, another version, you choose another family. They kind of have that going now.
It's just not character. As brutal as you would see in, like, a Game of Thrones or something.
But I will say that some of the... choosing the darker side, if you ever do get to Conquest anytime soon, I'll be curious to hear what you think about it, because some of the... like, your motivations for continuing to follow this clearly evil guy. I mean, there's no getting around it. Like, this guy is clearly evil. He just wants people to die. His little assistants who are whispering in his ear, also very clearly evil. They're not even trying to hide it. They're actually laughing at you in your face, like after everything they say. So it's a little ridiculous, but they actually do provide some interesting motivations for why this is for the greater good. So they have little touches here and there of that, I shouldn't say Game of Thrones, but for that style of storytelling, that's a little bit deeper than just good versus evil. Like, there are times when you have to side with what looks to be the bad side in order to achieve a greater good. So there's some interesting stuff there. It is pretty interesting.
I'll check out Conquest. I just think if I ever get through Birthright, which I will, but it'll take some time, I'll probably go to Bravely Second for a little while.
Yeah, okay.
I haven't even tried that yet because I don't want to distract myself from Dark Souls 3.
Yeah, well, you're committed. You made your vows, and now you're committed to Dark Souls 3.
Good, now it's time to break them.
Yeah. All right, well, speaking of a game that might break them at some point soon, there's a beta for it soon, and this is Gears of War 4.
Yeah.
So tell me about this. There was some news that came out about the beta. Tell me what's going on with Gears 4.
Yeah, if you're listening tomorrow, then you found out either tomorrow or today that they've announced some of the pre-order setups for Gears 4. First of all, let me talk about the beta, and then I'll talk about the pre-orders and how it's all set up. Because there's some actually interesting, cool news with this. So I got to play the Gears 4 beta. I didn't play it a lot because, again, we've talked about this 1,000 times. You and I are very alike when it comes to betas and demos. We like to maybe touch them. Most of the time, not. But when we do touch them, it's like a quick, oh, I know what this is. Or, oh, I'm going to buy this and move on.
Hey, can you not say touch them? Can you do that?
I'm going to touch everything.
Can you not keep talking about how we touch things? Uncomfortable.
I kind of deserve that because I wait and for you to make a mistake, and then it's like, that's what she said.
And then you pounce on it. Yeah, I know.
And then I pounce on it.
Then you touch it.
Or I was just, you just stole it. I was going to say, or I touch it. but anyways, so I played the beta for Gears 4 for a little bit. I played the co-op, like kind of like a horde mode where you face very difficult enemies, and then it's up to four players playing with you. So you can have five total, which I thought was pretty cool. Normally it's like a 4-on-4 type setup. And I gotta say, the AI was impressively hard. Again, I was just kind of getting adjusted and learning how to play again. But it was very difficult. They were taking me down with ease. But the game was so smooth. It's, in case you don't know, it's 1080p, 60 frames per second, which that's an amazing feat on the Xbox One. Yep, took a shot at you, Microsoft.
What the?
But yeah, they nailed it. It looks beautiful. This is, again, the multiplayer, so I expect the single player to look absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
So yeah, the beta, impressive. I like it. So I'm already excited about the game. Now, the exciting news for me today was I actually was just checking Major Nelson's website to see if he had posted the deals that are going to start up tomorrow. And instead, I came on and saw that Gears of War 4 pre-orders were up for digital. Now, that means if they're up for digital, you can obviously go to GameStop or Best Buy or anything and pre-order there as well. But the two editions that they have on digital right now is your regular $60 version, which will launch, I believe, October 11th, which is pretty cool. I don't know, I kind of felt like this would be their November game, so it kind of makes me wonder what Microsoft's got going on for November. But they got it coming out October 11th. Now, here's the cool part. Now, some people are going to shake their heads, but for me, as a big Gears fan, I've said in the past, this is my favorite Microsoft first-party franchise.
Right.
That they are going to release a Ultimate version. Now, this Ultimate version, it's got basic stuff that you would expect for the Ultimate version. It has the $60 game. It has a season pass. It's got some DLC. But it also gives you access to the full game 4 days early. And I believe you're a VIP, which means like you get access to everything early. You get special events, that type of stuff.
That's cool. They did
that with all the Forza games, too. They had like a VIP. And I remember for Gears of War Judgment, I bought like some type of VIP type package where you got extra experience, that type of stuff.
How do you get access to this again?
Now this is digital.
Okay.
Okay. Now you can buy the Ultimate Editions in the store and stuff, but I'm just talking about what I saw digitally. So you will be able to play the game on October 7th if you pre-order that. That's probably going to be the bundle I go with now. I haven't released the price. It's a bit steep. It's $100.
I like how the voice goes up when you're trying to convince yourself and others. It's a little steep.
It's $100. So now I'm like a Chinese woman. Am I getting in that?
And we veered into racist territory yet again. All right,
so nobody fire me, please. So it's pretty expensive. And then I found out afterwards. Now I haven't seen it, so maybe somebody else has seen it. They announced a collector's edition, which is like $250. Man, Microsoft sure does love those expensive collector's editions.
Them and Square Enix both, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Halo's was really expensive. I think Halo's was $250.
Was that with
Titanfall
the helmet?
Was $250. It was a statue with both Chief and forgot his name. Jesse knows his name because he hates him. Dang it! The other main character, everybody who likes Halo knows who I'm talking about. I forgot his name.
Okay.
Anyway, so
yeah.
This is a moving expensive. On. Yeah, I know. This because I kept expecting it was going to come back to me.
It didn't.
No, it didn't. This is an expensive collector's edition. It does come with a statue. I believe it's of Phoenix's son. So Marcus Phoenix's son is like one of the main characters. I believe he's the statue. Again, I haven't seen it. I probably won't get it. Not at $250. Even with 20% off, you're still looking at a $200 game. Which that kind of bothers me when you consider for another $100 you can get a console. So that type of
stuff crazy bothers. The editions they put out. Like it's get the regular edition, get the collector's edition, get the limited edition, the ultimate edition. I mean, next step's going to be get the Gears of War 4 Eternal Edition where Troy Baker will come in the box and do a voice for, you know what I mean? Like it's going to be, it's just getting ridiculous where how these editions go. But for fans of a franchise or a series, I can totally see how someone could, you know, I don't know if it's convinced themselves, but someone could see value in that kind of a collection. I could totally see that.
Like,
but
I
for
talked
me,
about,
it rarely rings true for me personally.
I talked about last week on last week's show about how I'm an Uncharted fanboy, and right.
Although
I
you got called out for not remembering the name of
Elena.
Of Elena, yeah.
Yeah, it happens. It happens.
Kept calling her Blondie. I thought you were somehow trying to spare us spoilers or something. I
wasn't
sure. But
let's be transparent. Let's veer off a little bit more. So what I do is, when you like ask me a question or we start talking about a topic, and I don't, I'm very visual, and I don't have it in front of my face, my brain goes blank. So even like some people are like, "Well, you remembered solely." I actually didn't. It took me forever. I like waited for you to keep talking. I'm like, "What's that old guy's name? What's that old guy's name?" I was sitting.
I'm
here
just gonna
to
call
think.
Him Mustache.
Yeah, Gray Mustache.
Gray.
And so I'm sitting there going, "Oh my god, I cannot remember his wife's name, who I love and I find attractive, and I cannot remember his best friend. I cannot remember anybody right now."
No.
And then at like. I don't remember when I mentioned him, but it was like right before I started talking about Sully, I actually remembered his name.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, I can say Sully now, but I cannot remember Elena's name."
It's all right.
It's so all right.
Listen, I've had those kind of moments too, and I think anyone who listens, if they were to just be talking, even if it's a game that they love, know and love, when you're in the moment, you'd be surprised at the things that escape your brain when you're trying to carry on a conversation. That you know is being recorded.
But. I mean, for people that play on easy mode, I mean, but when I'm recording on hardcore, I don't make mistakes. But anyways, what I was going to say is I pre-ordered the Uncharted Collector's Edition. See, to me, the reason, and the only reason why I haven't canceled it, because we talked about this, how I'm going to have several copies of this game. The only reason why I didn't cancel it is I was like, it's not overly priced, in my opinion. And not just because I like Uncharted a lot, but because I'm the amount of content you're getting in that package for $96. Now, I'm paying $96. Somebody who goes to GameStop's going to pay $130, I believe.
Okay, because you did some trading, some wheeling
yeah.
and dealing.
Yeah. Oh, wait, it's $120. I think it's $120.
Okay.
So I paid $96 for my... No, I got the 20% off at Best Buy.
Oh,
so
the
it
Game
comes
is
out
Club.
To, yeah. Yeah, so it comes out to $96 because I think it's a $120. Collector's edition. So it comes out in 96, and then with tax it was like 103. And it comes cool. with a statue, it comes with a game, it comes with some DLC and some other like steel bookcase. And I was like, okay, I really want a Nathan Drake statue, so this is the one I'm gonna go with. So I don't have a problem paying that, but paying 250 or even 200 for Gears 4, I don't think it's gonna happen. I can't justify it because, like I said, for $50 more, I can just go buy an Xbox One.
That's true. Or reserve a VR. Or did you already pre-order VR? Oh, we'll get to that talk in a minute.
I pre-ordered VR.
All right. Let's. Speaking of community giving us a hard time about stuff, we opened it up recently, over the last few weeks, for people to submit their questions, their comments, and they had the freedom to ask us anything. So I grabbed a few of these questions that came in over the last few weeks. Through different posts in our Facebook group. If you're not part of our Facebook group, Fathers of the Grind, feel free to join us and feel free to add like-minded gamers. We do try to keep it fairly peaceful in there. It's not meant to be a place where we come in and debate. It's meant to be a place we come in and discuss, whether it's family or video gaming, TV shows. Yeah, we try to keep it free of drama and politics as much as we can. But anyway, feel free to join in there if you want to.
That's why Tim has set it up where he has to pre-approve all my posts and comments.
Yeah, because... if you're in that group and you see his post, you know that's not true. All right.
Censored.
So let's hear from the community a little bit in this segment that we call Listen.
Hey, listen.
All right, first, let's hear from Alan Heinen. He says, and this is a great question from Alan, if you're playing an online game with a group of friends and you're in the middle of a session or maybe a mission, like for example, you're playing The Division and you're teamed up with some people playing online, and your wife or a significant other comes into the room and gives you a very suggestive look and says, you might want to turn the game off, smiles at you, turns around and heads to the bedroom, what do you do? So, Alan, fantastic question. I'm going to go ahead and answer for us in this case. I think your instinct is to say, or even to think, as soon as I finish this mission, let me just finish this room with these guys. That's your instinct. That's my instinct, at least. But hopefully, hopefully, wisdom kicks in and you realize that even though finding a group and getting everyone scheduled to play is tough, especially as the years go on, those types of random walk in the room giving you that suggestive look moment also gets tougher to accomplish as time goes on, with, you know, as we get older. So I would say, without a doubt, tell your buddies, I'll be back later. You know, go on without me if you want to. I'll be back later. And shut it down. Get out of there. Turn the game off. Stop the raid. Stop the mission, whatever you're doing. And obey the look. That's my advice, Alan.
Oh, that's your advice. So that's that's the rule you follow.
Usually, yeah.
I just look at her and say, can't pause online, bro.
You actually say bruh, too, don't you?
I do. I absolutely do.
But I imagine that you're not making eye contact. You're still glued to the TV screen as you kind of half turn your head, but your eyes stay on the screen, and you say it like that. Like, just barely turn your head a little bit. Can't pause
pretty
online,
much,
bruh.
Pretty much nailed it. Yeah. And that's usually when she throws something at me. But it works out.
I'm glad. I'm glad it works out. So two different pieces of advice there for you, Alan, and others. But great question. Gunblade Hero asks, he wants us to talk about VR. If we think VR has a future or was just a fad. So that's part one. And part two would be, regardless of what we think about its future, what games would we like to see made or ported into VR? So
first
of all, do we think it has a future or is it just a temporary fad?
Let me start by answering this one, because obviously since I pre-ordered PlayStation VR, I've done a bit of research, not only into PlayStation's version of VR, but I've actually looked into the other alternatives to see if I should really go a different direction than just jump on the PlayStation VR bandwagon. So let me jump into this. I do think it has a future, but here's the big thing that they're going to have to accomplish. They're going to have to figure out a way, and they will down the road, unless it's not successful right now. But by the numbers, pre-orders at least, PlayStation VR looks like it's going to be extremely successful. With that being said, what they're going to have to find a way to do is they're going to have to find a way to make VR more affordable. And what I mean by that, I'm not just talking about a $400 headset. For this not to be a fad, you're going to have to be able to play all games on VR. Now, you're going to have to be able to play them the way you want to experience them. Mm-hmm. So, some of the things that I've seen that I thought were really cool in Hive, I think it's Hive that's doing it, is they've got it set
you mean
up
the Vive?
Where, Vive. See, yeah, okay. I'm thinking of 311 again.
Fine. Oh, yeah, you are.
So, Vive. The Vive, I believe it's the Vive. I could be wrong. I could be getting the two confused. No, it is. It's Vive. But Vive has it where, like, when you buy it, and it's the more expensive of the three major ones, you get, like, this, like, these things that get set up in your room.
Yeah, you have to have space for that.
Yes. So you play in space because it's tracking all movement, not just, like, your head.
Basically, you have to have an open room about the size of a small bedroom in a typical house. Somewhere in like that 9x12 type range, you have to have open and free. Yeah.
So they did this so you could play like shooters and stuff like that, where you can move around and you're not just standing still. And the other thing I've seen, and this obviously would be impossible for anybody to afford unless you're like LeBron James or something, but I've seen where they have
Who's
setups.
Who?
I don't know. LeBron-dro James.
Golfer?
Jams. LeBron-dro Jams.
No idea. For those of you who have had your names butchered by us, don't feel bad. We can't even...
LeBron-dro Jams.
We can't even get famous golfers' names right. Am I right?
Am I right?
That's what he is. He's a golfer.
Yes, he's for sure. A Chinese golfer.
Got it.
racist. So, anyways... they have, like, this setup where you, like, actually can be standing in, like, this container-type thing where you can walk. Like, you can actually run, but you're running in place. You're not moving anywhere. And you can point a gun while you're wearing the headset. Like, it looked really cool. Like, I could see that being a legit future. I just think they have to find ways in the future of making it more affordable. Mm. Now, in order for them to do that, they have to make VR relevant now. And a lot of the games that I'm seeing release, and this is what's making me a little shaky on my PSVR pre-order, which I haven't paid it off yet, so I can always back out. Well, I can back out even if I paid it off. But what's making me a little shaky is I'm not seeing a lot of games that I'm like, oh, I would legit want to play this for 20 to 40 hours.
Yeah.
There's only one game, and it's not on the VR or PlayStation VR. It's on, I believe, Oculus Rift, and it's probably on Vive as well. And I don't remember the I'm going to probably mess up the name. I think it's called... forget it. I don't know the name. But it's an RPG, and it's been reviewing really well.
Okay.
And apparently they pulled off the RPG elements in a VR world.
Hmm.
And so that's the type of experiences that I want. I don't want just, like, Kinect-type experiences just made a little bit cooler now that you're wearing it on your head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to be able to sit down, put the headset on, grab a controller... not a Move controller, a DualShock 4, and play Gran Turismo. Play, I'm trying to think of some popular, Uncharted, but something that's made for VR.
What about something more in the lines of, and I haven't even played it yet, but I've seen video of it and I've heard people talk about it. What about something more like Until Dawn, where it's more of an experience, a guided experience, I guess, than a... than like an action game?
Yeah, and that's
you see
the
something
thing,
like that turned into a great VR experience, you think?
Absolutely. I think horror games, which unfortunately, while I like some franchises that are horror, I'm not a big, like, I'm not going to play Outlast or Outlast 2 or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But those type of franchises would be perfect for VR.
I think so,
because
too.
Because they're less on gameplay and more on the experience, which VR can pull off. What I think will make VR last is if they can get past just the experience and pull off the gameplay to add on to the experience. Does that make sense?
It does. I actually think that this round of VR tech that's coming out in 2016, the Oculus, Vive, and PlayStation VR, I think they will each have mediocre success. I think the PSVR will come out in the lead in terms of total sales and all that, just because the install base is insane. So I think they'll all do okay. I don't know if these devices themselves have an amazing future. They might even be relegated to something as like the Kinect, where it wasn't a huge hit, but it still is in a lot of homes. I do think this, though, even if these devices themselves don't take off, I'm a little skeptical that these devices will be amazing, and most of that has to do with the software. I think there's going to be a very big lack of compelling software. I think the tech, the idea, the concept of VR is going to be a major part of our gaming future. So whether we want to accept it now or wait till there's new variations on it later, I do think that this concept of VR is very much going to be part of the future, not just of gaming, but of everything. And I think that you're going to see more and more group VR experiences explored, where it's going to be less, because that's one of the biggest concerns, and it's one of my concerns, is solo. It's all a solo experience. So I think there's going to be more opportunity for somehow a shared experience, where maybe even you're seeing each other in these worlds somehow, as you're exploring them together. I think there's going to be ways for them to do this, and I just think it's going to take time and technology. I think there's a future in VR. I don't know if it's going to be this round. I'm also not convinced that the strongest part of VR is going to be gaming. It might be more of, you know, in the science realm, in the movie and TV show
porn.
Entertainment realm. Probably in the porn realm, of course. That's going to make a lot of money. It already does make a ton of money, so that'll be a big part of it too. But, I mean, it's kind of funny to joke about, but in all seriousness, whether it's entertainment, just visual entertainment, of course, like porn or movies and TV and stuff, those things have a future in terms of making money. As in terms of games, I think it's going to be a big part of gaming. I don't ever think it's going to completely take over the standard screen experience, not in our lifetime at least. I think that a standard screen will still be a common thing, both in terms of handheld and in the living room, personally. So, but great question from Gunblade, and he also asked, what game or games would you like to see ported to VR? I already mentioned Until Dawn. I think I agree with Derek. The horror games have a great opportunity here. Maybe even a Resident Evil type of a game could be. put in there. I also think some of these shorter experience adventure games that we've seen, Firewatch, Gone Home, The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, these games that have they're very niche games. They're not for everybody. I know Derek is hit or miss on some of these games. I've enjoyed them for the most part. They definitely have potential in this type of environment. They seem like games to me that are already made to be VR games. That's really going to be the draw. There's not any action. It doesn't require an incredible amount of movement or you know, shooting or anything like that. It's just an experience. Those types of games, I think, have a strong future in VR. So, good question, Gunblade.
Yep, don't have to block you now.
Real name. Our friend Antonio Guillen from the Platinum Achievements podcast. Shout out to those guys again. He asks a great question, and we've all been there. He says, we have all held our bathroom break for longer than we should have while gaming. So what is your personal record for holding it while gaming? You don't want to pause it? Maybe you can't pause it.
No, I mean, if it's online games,
yeah,
can't pause it, bro.
One word for you, Antonio. Catheter. Catheter, buddy. hook up a bag and keep on trucking.
I don't have a personal record because I have no idea. I know John Martin's is probably about 32 seconds.
Yeah, John. When we play Rocket League with John, in between every game, if you've never played Rocket League, they're 5-minute matches. And if there's lots of goals, maybe it goes up to 7, 8, 9 minutes. Maybe. If it's a really long game with overtime. And he goes for a bathroom break after every game. Every game. John, come on.
You're the worst, John.
Colin Perkins, this is a good question. He says, what's the best thing about elevator jokes? What do you think?
Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing.
They're great because they work on every level.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, you looked that up, didn't you?
Dad jokes! No, I saw that, and when I've heard it before, because I'm horrible, and I saw Colin asked it. It's a great question, Colin. Dad jokes for the win. All right, Paul Lachlan asks, what is our favorite recipe?
Shrimp Alfredo.
Is this something that you make, or is this something that someone else makes?
I make it, because I'm amazing.
Is this something you're going to share? Just give me an overview. What do you put in it?
Shrimp.
Uh-huh.
Alfredo.
Nice. Wow, that's a timeless mixture right there.
Actually, I do
any kind of noodles in there.
Yes, I usually go with the twisty ones. I don't know what they're called,
but no, that's the professional. That's the technical term.
Yeah, twisty. usually, I buy like the Alfredo bottles that taste terrible. Like if you buy like store bought Alfredo, it's absolutely god awful. It's disgusting. Yeah. So anyways, I buy that, but before I, you know, serve it or anything, I actually modify it. And the way I do that is I add Parmesan cheese, I add lots of butter. You gotta have lots of butter. You gotta make it fattening. And then I add the shrimp to it. I mix it all together, kind of get it thick. And then I pour it over the noodles, mix it, and it's pretty freaking amazing when I'm on point.
That sounds really good. That sounds really good. Yours is impressive. I don't have one, Paul, and anyone else listening who's interested. I don't cook like anything.
Because you rely on your woman to make you sandwiches.
Yes, I do. My wife, Katie, is an amazing cook. She's always trying out new recipes. I will tell you one of my favorite recipes that she makes, though, and if you're ever interested in getting it, let me know. I'll pass it on. It is a barbecue bacon chili, and it is absolutely beautiful. If you like a really like a really sweet with a nice kick to it chili.
Yeah, send that to me. Tell her to send me, you know, a cup.
It's real. I will. I'll put the sandwich in it. It'll be good.
Yeah, I expect I'll get that in the next.
I don't have a great answer for that because I am horrible in the kitchen. If anything ever happens to my wife, I'm in big trouble because I make a mean sandwich, grilled cheese. I can grill up some chicken on the grill, but I'm very, very limited in my abilities, mostly because I haven't tried. So anyway, good question, Paul. And also, Paul, if you're listening to this, what's your favorite? Pass it along, man. John Martin.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be a good one.
Our good buddy John Martin. Well, he only asks serious questions, and here's his question. He says, is John Martin the greatest Rocket League player you've ever had the pleasure of meeting?
Absolutely. He's just phenomenal. Whiffing, peeing, and doing nothing that adds value to your team at all.
I got your back, Jose. I got it.
I got your back. I got your back. I'm just going to whiff this ball and go piss every 5 seconds.
Jose wasn't even on his team. Okay. Jesse White says, will we ever see Knights of the Old Republic 3 or yes. Half-Life 3? No. And I think the bigger part of his question is, he makes a comment, you'd think they're leaving astronomical volumes of money on the table. So I want to take his question about those two games and turn it into a slightly bigger question. That is, what is the deal with these companies who have these great franchises and they're just not making major sequels, major entries in these franchises?
Well, I think with Knights of the Old Republic...
you said three, yes to that, by the way, right? You said you think we will see a 3?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We're going to see it. I think the issue with Knights of the Old Republic 3 is BioWare worked on the first one, then it went to Obsidian because BioWare focused on Mass Effect. And to be honest with you, Mass Effect is very much a Star Wars-esque type game. So I wasn't real... Like, I'm a big Knights of the Old Republic fan, like a huge fan. Wow. When people ask, like, what's your favorite franchise? It's always one of them I mention.
KOTOR.
Or as my wife likes to call it, Cooter. Yeah, she likes to throw that in there.
Classy.
Yeah, she's a real classy woman. So, I do think it will be made, because who's in control of it right now? EA? Has it?
So.
Yeah. No. I don't think it will be BioWare that makes it, or unless EA is just going to blow up BioWare and make them bigger, and then they can have multiple teams running things. But
Could you see someone like Obsidian taking this one on again, since they did two?
I know
they're currently working on a game. Maybe once they wrap that one up, could you see maybe Obsidian taking this one on?
I don't know. You know, I said I don't think it will be BioWare, but it will probably end up being BioWare. But it will be like after Mass Effect 4
Andromeda.
Yeah. Okay. Half-Life 3, I said no, but then as I thought about it, I'm like, Gabe's going to eventually release it. I just think he's going to do it when it most benefits him. Right now, think about it. I know he said, you think they're leaving a bunch of money on, but they really, he doesn't need Half-Life 3. He really doesn't.
Because of Steam.
Valve doesn't need Half-Life 3. Right. So, if anything, it's kind of like one of those things that, and I don't know Gabe personally, that he could be like, look, I've got all this money, we've got all these people wanting this game, I can just leave it there and never make this game. Yeah. And it will end as an epic franchise. Or, because you got to think about this, there's a huge risk, if Half-Life 3 sucks... or it's a letdown in any way, it will destroy everything that franchise had built. As far as how the games look, how the franchise looked upon. Whereas now, you know, when you look at like a Half-Life 3, and even KOTOR, you can put that in there. Those games are so they've been gone for so long that there's so many people that want them. Probably more Half-Life 3 than KOTOR 3.
Right, but it's talked about a lot.
Yeah, it's talked about so much. I don't see how there's any way possible those two games could be released and not disappoint a good amount of people.
Right.
So it's at the point now where it's like these companies just have to want to release them because I don't know if they're even worth it at this point. I do think KOTOR 3 will come, though, that being said.
Well, I do agree with Jesse. I think there's a lot of money being left on the table. That doesn't mean that it's worth the money they'd have to first put on the table, though.
Yeah.
So they'd have to pony up quite a bit to get the production value in today's technology, the modern technology that we have for these consoles and for the PC. They'd have to really invest in games like KOTOR 3, Half-Life 3. I think we're much more likely for Valve, at least, to see a Portal 3 than we are Half-Life 3. I could see a Portal 3 coming before a Half-Life 3. I agree with you. I do think Knights of the Old Republic 3 will come. And I do think it'll be a numbered entry. It just might be once the Old Republic, the MMO, once that starts to die down a bit, then you might see KOTOR 3 come to life. That's just a guess. I don't have any reason to think
that. You never know. They may be putting Knights of the Old Republic to rest because maybe they want to create a RPG that's kind of like Knights of the Republic, but set it in the Force Awakenings.
Well, you know? It makes me curious, now that you mention that, I didn't think about that, about this the Amy Hennig project that they're working on. So yeah, maybe that'll be that sprawling action adventure, maybe even action RPG that we've been wanting, you know.
Yeah.
So, well, that remains to be seen. But that being said, I do agree there's money left on the table. I just think that in some cases the risk of money they'll have to put forward first before they can collect all that money that would be on the table. They have to weigh that out and balance that out, and I'm guessing both companies have said could work, just not yet.
I will say this. If Knights of the Old Republic 3 comes out, it will not play like Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Old Republic 2. It just won't. They'll make it more modern, and it's going to probably get away from that turn-based style of gameplay.
It'll probably play more like a Mass Effect, don't you think?
Exactly.
Yeah, like the newer Mass Effects, yeah. All right, good question, Jesse. This one is from JP Thorne. JP asks, or he says, you're stuck on a deserted island and can take one console and two games. What do you choose?
This isn't that hard. I mean, I'm always going to go with the most modern console, so I'm going to take my PS4. As far as games, probably going to take The Witcher 3, but I get all the expansions. You're not denying me that. So I'll take The Witcher 3 with all the DLC and expansions, and then Dragon Age.
What?
Inquisition with all the expansions.
Oh my goodness. I could have sworn... Okay. My answer was... I'm split right now. I'm torn between the old faithful Super Nintendo and bringing two of my favorites. Let's say I grab Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy VI.
You're trying to give multiple answers.
But I was thinking about this as I read the question. I changed my mind. That's where I would go, but I'm going to change that. I actually would take, it's very similar to yours. I thought you were going to steal it exactly. I would bring the PS4 with The Witcher 3 because that game would keep me occupied probably till I died to explore everything.
And I'm going
to
yell at you for your second one. I already know what you're
going to say. Rocket League.
Yep. But you don't have online.
Yes, I would. They got broadband.
You are not playing online on a deserted island. So, no. That's why I didn't say Rocket League. No. I'm not playing against the AI that I dominate. Not happening.
Well, then I think I would probably... I probably have to do Xbox One then, and here I'll tell you why. Let me think about this for a second. Does Xbox One, is it backwards compatible with NCAA football? Do you know offhand?
Not yet. No, because I have NCAA double.
If I could break the rules, I would totally... If I could do a combination of a Witcher 3 and then one of the major sports entries, like a football where there's franchise mode, those things could keep me occupied. Those two. And it would give me a nice variation too.
Yeah. That's
what I'd pick.
That would be my only concern with doing both Dragon Age and The Witcher.
Yeah.
While The Witcher plays differently in Dragon Age, they're kind of very similar.
Yeah, similar in tone and they're
big, yeah.
Yeah, fantasy setting RPGs, yeah. Good question, JP.
Whatever.
JP, what would you pick? Let us know. All right, last one. This comes from Anonymous. The question is, what's going on with these 0.5 or halfway console upgrades? Also, you guys are the best podcast host ever. Seriously, best show ever.
Huh. Is Anonymous Tim?
Thanks, Anonymous. That was nice of you.
Huh. Yeah, that's got to be Tim.
That was Snobby Tim, actually. He wrote that one.
No, Snobby Tim would not say that.
No, no, he wouldn't.
Oh, dear.
Oh, this podcast.
Dear, this show is pure poop.
You don't make people listen to this, do you? So, real quick, give me your thoughts. What's going on with these kind of half measure console upgrades? So we're going to be 3 years in when the first round of them supposedly drop, and maybe even right around the time when the Nintendo NX drops. What do you think about this possible PlayStation Neo 4.5 or maybe the Xbox 1.5? What are your general thoughts on that? Would you get them? Do you think it's dumb? Do you think it's great? What do you think?
I mean, as somebody who tries to get everything, here's what I said. When we were talking about the 0.5s on our group, I said that as long as GameStop or Best Buy or whoever, whatever retailers, has like a great trade-in program, which they generally do because they will. Want you to
They'll
upgrade.
Have something. Yeah.
Like something like, let's say the 0.5 comes out at $400 because, mm-hmm. well, wait, it's probably going to be $450. Let's say it's $450.
Okay.
Right now, a regular PS4 is $350. If they were like, we'll give you $300 for your PS4 towards a PS4 0.5, which means I only have to pay $150 out of my pocket,
yeah.
I'm going to do it. Yeah, therefore, I'm not mad that they are doing this because it's only costing me $150 more, and I feel like what they're giving me is worth $150 more. My issue is, if everybody starts doing this, you're basically, for a person like me who buys and tries to buy everything, you're basically destroying my marriage. You are putting me out on the street.
Yeah.
You are
without
destroying
your PS 4.5. Yeah.
Yeah. You're causing me to file bankruptcy. So I think it's rude. I think it's selfish.
Mm.
And I support it fully.
Yeah. All at the same time. I think it's kind of weird. Here's my general thought on it without taking too long to respond. I think one of the luxuries of a console is that the upgrade happens when you buy a brand new console. And maybe it's backwards compatible, maybe it's not, but you weigh the pros and cons and you move on to the next generation of consoles. That's what I've always liked about consoles. So getting this half-measure upgrade, that's what bothered me about the new Nintendo 3DS, which I still haven't upgraded to, by the way, because it's an improved version of the unit, no doubt about that. I totally get that. It's a stronger processing power. It's got this extra little control stick on it, and same thing with this 4.5 or 1.5 that might come out. It's going to be much stronger processing power, maybe 4K option, and upgraded whatever. More frames per second and higher resolution. Okay. I can even appreciate what that would look like, how that would improve the experience. But it takes away a little bit of the magic and the simplicity and the major selling point of a video game console, in that you don't need to upgrade. You buy that one, and unless it malfunctions or breaks or something, then you don't need to buy another one. That's your console until it's time to upgrade to the next one. And so it bothers me a little bit. I say all that to say it bothers me, but I am curious to see how Sony, who is just destroying the competition this generation with sales, their install base is so huge. I'm curious to see how they play this, because I listened to a lot of different podcasts, and I've watched a lot of different YouTube videos of people debating this, and it always comes back that, basically, Sony's going to handle this in a way that helps developers and the consumers, not feel like it's just a luxury item. So it won't interrupt, the current generation. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that, but I don't know. So I'm curious to hear how Sony finally announces it, how it rolls out, how different are the games? Will there be a side-by-side comparison? There's of course concerns with, will there be more glitches in games, more patches needed? Will games be more expensive if it's the Neo version? I don't know. I've
heard a lot of rumors and stuff like this that developers and publishers are not happy because they're basically having to develop two separate PlayStation 4 games.
Right.
Which, if that is true, that's terrible.
But I don't know if that's true or not. Maybe it is. But let's say that you're a PC.
They're gonna have to make some changing. But
if you're a PC gamer and you bought The Witcher 3 last year, just for example, based on the system that you have, there's an automatic setting or you change the setting in the options. High, medium, or low performance, or ultra mm-hmm. settings even. So there's these settings that already exist to adjust a game, how it performs based on the system that you're running it on. I wonder if, and I don't know this, I wonder if the same type of rule would apply for an upgraded version of the system, where it's the same game, same experience, you're just getting a sharper version, just the way it looks. It's simply it's a stronger system that maybe the load screens are going to be significantly shorter and the graphics will be
higher. See, I don't think it's, unless I'm wrong and you can tell me I'm wrong, because I haven't done a lot of research, because honestly I wasn't that interested in the subject, but I don't think it's going to be a huge graphical enhance. I think it's more of a performance thing to get things running better, because, and I think they need this to run their VR better. And to run games on their VR.
I think
VR
that's going to be the biggest improvement, but I do know that they're talking, those documents that were released did talk about 4K, because that's the new fad in resolution talk with TVs. You know, 4K TVs are the new thing. So I do think there is a resolution graphical improvement possibility there, but you're right. I think the biggest improvement, again, according to these documents that were supposedly linked, leaked, sounds like the GPU power, the processing power is really the difference here. So you're right.
So
I think. Yeah.
Now they're forcing me to buy a 4K TV.
Yep. And it's going to be a Sony 4K TV probably too. They own you.
So I have a serious question.
Yeah.
When can I move in?
We have a garage. You'll like it in there. Yeah.
Okay. And all I ask is that your wife makes me that chili.
Oh man, it's so good. I'm so hungry after talking about food. Like listening to you describe that shrimp Alfredo stuff you make, that sounds good. And thinking about this chili, it's midnight right now and I am starving. Great.
I feel the same way, especially since I'm doing like low carb. So to sit there and talk about Alfredo and
everything
noodles,
we talked about was carbs.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh man. All right, cool. Well, I'm going to go eat.
Thanks.
Derek, that'll wrap us up for this week. Apologies to everybody for us getting this to you a little bit late, but thanks for your patience. And yeah, that's all I got. Derek, any last words? I won't ask for words of wisdom, but any last words before you get kicked out to the street and probably die from hypothermia?
No, I really have nothing to say to my listeners. My listeners.
My listeners.
Because I don't give a shit about them.
Real talk.
And that's how you get everybody to unfollow the group right away.
That's right. All right, well, thank you all for being part of the group. Speaking of which, and thanks for being in there in that Facebook group. Feel free to post, to comment, and keep the conversation going there. And have a great week.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Deuces.
Not including deuces.
Deuces.
No.
Just leave it. You always censor me, jackass.
Yeah.